Mother's Day is. Christ is risen. Our faith teaches us that healing is miraculous by whatever means it occurs, by whatever means God brings it. Healing is, in a very great sense, a sign, a manifestation of the kingdom of God towards us. Sickness and death are the norm, tragic results of our willing disobedience with God, our participation in the environment of sin we see and experience all around us. But sickness and ultimately death are the enemies Christ God became incarnate to destroy. He rescues us from an otherwise eternal pattern of senseless sickness and death. And instead, we're invited to receive new birth, new life, by water and the Spirit, to receive the adoption of sonship. We live toward dying, but dying in Christ brings us to eternal living, because with Christ, those who have put on Christ likewise become fellow victors over sin and death. So in this light, in this truth, we can see the two examples of healing in today's scripture as interjections of the kingdom of God into our sad, mundane, and otherwise sin-sick and dying humanity. The gospel loudly proclaims to us today, true healing comes from Christ, from the creator of all life. And he shouts to us, call on Christ, who alone brings true healing. It's St. Peter's communion, his koinonia with Christ God, that enables him to be the means by which God heals the paralytic and then raises the woman of God, Tabitha. He says to the paralytic, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. So there's no doubt who the healing is coming from. But the great thing is that the God of the universe chooses a mere man, and one who had just recovered from denying him thrice, to communicate his life, his healing to others. In the gospel, of course, it's Christ himself in person who heals. In the second, it is Christ through Peter who heals. Either way, it is God who is glorified. But in the epistle reading, we should be stopped in our tracks. We'd expect God to heal, but now his healing is coming through his apostle, through his church. That is, through his abiding presence with us. That is his church. This is in fulfillment of what Christ said would happen after the descent of the Holy Spirit. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. In many of the healings recorded in the Gospels, they're preceded by Christ forgiving sins, by a step of faith, by repentance. And this is so natural, it's so fitting. Only God can forgive sins, only God can give and restore life. Our ultimate problem isn't the weakness and infirmities of our physical bodies, as distressing, saddening, and limiting as they may be. Rather, it's our sin sickness. It's our willful removal of ourselves, our eternal souls, from true life, from communion with God, from everything that we can be in Christ. That is what is most to be lamented. Christ God, in healing the paralytic, says to him, go and sin no more. Sin itself is understood in the Orthodox faith as sickness, as self-willed removal from the light of life. It's missing the mark of glory to which you and I are called. Our sin and disobedience, our rejection of God's communion, his life, as individuals and as human beings, means that we turn away from that life, that glory, and in this sense, we embrace death. The paralytic in today's gospel laments. He says, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. He struggled with his infirmity, his disappointment at not being healed for 38 years. Imagine. Imagine struggling with a passion for 38 years. But in the end, his faith led him to Christ. It left him healed, not only in body, but in soul as well. For the paralytic is given a personal encounter with the living God, with life itself. God doesn't leave us alone to fend for self. God offers himself, his life, his new life, through repentance, which is the cure of our sin sickness. God pours out his grace and his love upon us through his holy church. He gives us the tools of healing, spiritual medicine in his church, if we would just make use of it. He communes his life with us through the divine services and prayers, the holy scriptures, and the lives of the saints. He receives our repentance through the sacrament of confession. He feeds us with the medicine of immortality in the Eucharist. And so we're led to ask ourselves, what place do I put my communion with God in my life? Am I striving to bring Christ into all aspects of my daily life so that I may struggle and persevere as did the paralytic in doing the hard spade work of finding healing in Christ, that I may be further deified, that I may continue to find healing in the fullness of life that Christ God came to give me? If you and I want that fullness and healing, we have to want to grow. We have to want to deepen our communion with God. Love is not love if it's forced on anyone. And it's the same with healing. For this reason, Jesus Christ's question of the paralytic is very relevant. He says to the paralytic, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well?" And we must ask ourselves the same question. If the answer is yes, then we avail ourselves of everything that the church has to offer, everything that Christ in his abiding presence here gives us, wants to give us. If the answer is no, or sometimes no, then we repent of this attitude. We seek Christ's help to change. Either way, it's Christ that we turn to, and it's he alone who is able to save us. There are certainly enough excuses around to keep us from growth and healing, just as there are to keep us from church. But if we rely on excuses, we're putting a stop to our own participation in the kingdom of God that we are so mercifully granted here and now. The "I'm too busy, I've got too many other responsibilities, I've got this social engagement to participate in, I'm afraid, I'm too prideful, God can help others, he can't help me." Whatever the excuse is, they're just cover-ups. The truth, the reality is, we don't have to stay stuck in the same dead-end patterns. God wants to give us healing. The question is, do we want it? Significantly, when Christ asks the man if he wants to be made well, the paralytic answers, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool." But Christ responds, directing the man's attention away from the pool to showing him that he himself is that man, the God-man, who alone heals and saves. Through Christ's physical sickness, disease, and death can be transfigured. "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" But in the same way, our spiritual sickness can find lasting healing in Christ step by step, if we're willing to persevere as did the paralytic with his infirmity. Through the tools of the church, we find the meaning to conquer, the means to conquer sin, to bear that cross of struggle and self-denial, which become the means of deification through our repentance and our prayers. Church is meant to be more than just a once-a-week experience for us. We're meant to incorporate the church, that is, the life in Christ, into all aspects of our daily life. There is for the faithful Orthodox Christian no distinction or separation between our relationship and our communion with God and our participation in the church. For us as Orthodox, there's no such thing as having Jesus without the church. Jesus is manifested to us through the church, through the tools of salvation he imparts to us through his body in his great love for us. And so I encourage you, bring Christ God into your sin struggles, into your broken patterns, into the things that tempt you. Avail yourselves of what Christ imparts to us through his holy church, the deifying worship, fellowship, service, the sacraments, our daily prayers. In this way, our souls, like the body of the paralytic, will be lifted up, will be strengthened. As he took up his bed and walked, so we will be able to take up our cross and press on, walking toward the kingdom of heaven, life with God. And as we grow in Christ's likeness, as we are glorified with Christ, we'll continue to grow in our love for our fellow man. We'll find new ways to love and to serve, interjecting the kingdom of God into the world around us. Greater works than these he will do in my name, that God may be glorified in us and through us. As you raised up the paralytic of old, so raise up my soul, paralyzed by sins and thoughtless acts, so that being saved I may sing to you, glory to thy power, O compassionate Christ. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Christos omnia.
Ad eurem.
Christi asta. Cessi
malit ad eurem.